You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
As our beloved Broadway community approaches a return, we are following four working artist mothers from both sides of the table and across diverse worlds as they emerge from this time of togetherness with their children. Two became pregnant and gave birth in the 17 months since the shutdown, while the other two paused the 8-show-a-week mom life juggle and are having to readapt to time away from their sweet babes, knowing now just how precious the moments with them are.
Tony nominee Elizabeth Stanley, Moulin Rouge's Corey Pettinod, choreographer Lauren Lotaro, and Come From Away's Pearl Sun share their stories in our special four-part miniseries, Returning Reborn, The Rebirth of the Broadway Mom. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to the season 3 premiere of Mama's Talkin' Loud.
Oh my God, can you believe it?
I can't believe it. Here we are.
We are here. We made it through and another season is here. I'm Jessica Rush.
And I'm Kara Cooper.
And this week's guest earned herself a Tony nomination for starring in Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill, which she was performing 8 times a week before COVID-19 hit. Her life has taken quite a turn in the past year and a half as she is weeks away from welcoming her first child. Hashtag pandemic baby.
They're everywhere. She shares not only her thoughts on social media and the role her show plays in the social landscape of our industry, but also how she is advocating for herself as a new mother returning to the stage. Here is our episode with Elizabeth Stanley.
Welcome.
Hello. I should have warmed up first.
Girl, tell me about it. We are so happy to have you here. Y'all, listeners, those of you who've been with us, this is the very first episode we're recording of our third season. Hello.
Amazing.
It's crazy.
What is this, like 78 or something?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Congrats.
A lot of episodes.
That's really cool.
Thanks. Thank you. Welcome to you, Elizabeth Stanley, Tony
Thank
nominated, fabulous, expectant mama like any day now, right? Are we in the final countdown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're there.
Well, and I have to say, I noticed that you emailed us at 3:30 this morning.
Uh-huh.
So clearly the like pregnancy insomnia is
happening.
Yeah.
It's real, right? It is so real.
I know. The last couple nights I've woken up around 3 and then just kind of can't get back to sleep for 2 or 3 hours. And so I was like, well.
Yeah, here we are. I read so many books when
emails.
I was pregnant. Like in the middle of the night, just like plowed through books because I never slept.
I guess it's just preparing me for what's ahead.
Yeah, I know. People are always like, try to catch up on your sleep. And you're like, but I'm already not sleeping. And then it's
right.
And then it's not going to get better.
Here's the difference. Your baby is keeping you up when the baby arrives, right?
Right.
But any chance you get to sleep, you are so tired. It's not insomnia. You can fall asleep anywhere.
Right.
Like when I would be in the dressing room and I had an infant at home, I would be asleep underneath the tabletop, like just passed out in seconds. It didn't matter.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So besides the insomnia, how are you feeling? How is it? We don't often talk to pregnant women on it. Like, usually the baby has arrived. So
yeah,
tell us how you're feeling.
I'm feeling really good, actually. Knock on wood. I mean, you know, some things physically are like a little bit harder, like getting up off the couch, but I feel good. I feel like I'm in this like rage nesting zone where mm-hmm. like getting stuff done. And we moved this summer, but it's just taken us, for a lot of reasons, a lot of time to kind of get situated. And so I feel like now I'm motivated to be like, I'm going to organize that closet, and I'm going to, like, we're going to go sofa shopping later today, you know, just stuff like that. But I feel good. I've turned that corner where I'm like starting to feel sad that I'm not going to be pregnant anymore. You know, it's just such a weird thing, but it's such a special, unique time. And I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity in this lifetime to carry a child and to experience that. And just that intimacy that you have with like another being in your body. It feels like it's been a long time, but it's also so brief. Mm-hmm. So I've started being like, oh, that's almost done.
Yeah.
It's so weird to think about as you're talking about it. I mean, shortly after you have the baby, you'll still feel like you're going to feel a kick or some sort of flutter. And I always remember being like, I'll never forget what that feels like. But now sitting here, I cannot really replicate that in my body. Like, mentally I can remember it, but I don't have the physical memory of it. So it's so great that you're really keying into it while you're there. Because it is, it's magical.
Well, and I remember sitting there saying to myself out loud, remember what this feels like. Because Kara had told me to like take it in, because she was before me. And I was like, remember what this feels like. And it's true. You think you'll never forget. And then you're 7 years in and you don't remember, you know, or like 2 years in. I mean, it's like, you can't even, it's true. There's nothing like it. And so it is a special time.
Did you always know this was something that you wanted for yourself, Elizabeth? Or is this, I don't know.
It's kind of like, I feel like I rode the wave of like wanting it and not wanting it. I think, for sure, when I was like a teenager and in my 20s, I thought like, oh yeah, I'll be a mom. And then when I was still in my 30s and I was single, I started being like, I don't know, I might not be. And like, what does that look like? And also, I think when you're pursuing the arts, it's like you see so many different ways of making a life that are meaningful. And you know, I worked with people that were parents and people that weren't, and I saw all the different ways that people did it. And some of it looked awesome, and some of it looked like, oh gosh, I don't want to do that. which is probably true in every line of work, honestly. But I do feel like being a performing artist is like a unique challenge. And so, I don't know, somewhere in my mid-30s, I was really like, I want to still have that option. I don't want to be a single parent, but like, so I froze my eggs like in my, I don't know, it was in my late 30s. Not because I was like, I must have a child. I was still kind of like, okay if I didn't, but I just was like, I want to have that option. Like, if I meet someone later and we both want that, I just want that to be an option. And then, as I like was approaching 40, I was like, I think I'm good. Like, I don't know that I need to do that anymore. And I really started getting really excited about like just the different ways that you can have a really full life without kids. Because I think for the longest time, I was afraid of like, I won't know the full life experience if I don't become a mother. There's something I'm going to be missing that everyone else knows, and like my life won't be as deep or as meaningful. And I think it was really healthy for me that I finally turned the corner on that and was like, no, you can do lots of things with a life, you know,
absolutely,
that
absolutely
is child free. But then when I met Charlie, he was like, I mean, it was kind of inappropriate, but it was just because of my age. Like, we talked about it, like maybe on like the second date, you know, and he's younger than me. And he was like, well, I've kind of, and also because being a guy, he was like, well, I just assumed I would be a dad, but I'm okay if I'm not, you know, like that could be okay. which was awesome and enabled us then to like really, I think, green light our love. And so then I think doing Jagged Little Pill was kind of always on the horizon when I met him, and then it became a Broadway show within the time that we were together. And we kind of thought like, well, I'll do the show for a year and we'll see what's happening. We'll see if like there are other career things that we're like, that feels more like the life we want to take. Or if we're like, no, this feels good. Maybe I'll sign on for another year if that's an option. And, you know, if the show is still running, you know how you just never know.
Mm-hmm. Never know.
And maybe like then we would try and get pregnant. We were just kind of like, we'll see. So then I think when it was the pandemic.
Then COVID hit.
Yeah. So it just like really changed everything up, which at first was really stressful to me in terms of the kid thing, because I felt like, wait, I had a pretty like moderate plan in place, but this is really messing with it. And I'm not of the age where I have like years to spare. You know, it's not like, wait, we'll just wait till everything resumes and then we'll put this plan back in place, you know? Yeah. And also just, it was a really, you know, career high for me that I wasn't willing to just be like, whatever.
Yeah.
and so, but the longer it pressed on, I kind of was like, just feels like we should try and see what happens. And there's so much uncertainty. And so then we just were kind of lucky and we ended up getting pregnant. I mean, it took us, you know, several months, but so we didn't have to use my frozen eggs or anything, which I was glad, just because it's really expensive.
Yeah. 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 I mean, truth of the matter is.
And our industry's been shut down for a year and a half. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my
Sorry,
gosh.
That was a long answer. But
No.
I mean, it almost feels like the pandemic put like put the pressure on in a lot of ways to make the decision. You've probably felt that way, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was just like, are you going to do it now? Do you want to? Or otherwise you're going to be like the oldest mom on the playground. I mean, you kind of already are, but like, you know.
You're not. Just know that. You're not.
In New York, it doesn't feel so bad, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's the nice thing. No, I think that like so many people I've seen in our business have gotten pregnant in this time. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I think it really, there's so much of what we do is so uncertain and there's so much instability and who knows what's going to happen, when you'll book a show. There's no right time, right? It's like you just sort of have to go. I remember my agent saying to me, the business will always be here. It will always be here. But there's still that in the back of your head, like, but there's things happening and I'm taking myself out of it. So when nothing was happening, it was like, and I can imagine, you know, the nominations hadn't come out yet, but like word on the street was, you know, Elizabeth Stanley's going to get a Tony nom for Jagged Little Pill. Like this was what was, you know, I knew that was happening. We all knew. And so you had to have known, I mean, in your heart of hearts. And it's like, when is it coming back? Do I have time? Could I do this? But at the same time, it sort of feels like the perfect moment to try to get pregnant because there was no pressure to return to work. There was no pressure to get yourself back. There was no pressure to, or to feel as though you were missing out on auditions or whatever's coming up. So I've noticed, I mean, I get it. I totally get it. I mean, I remember talking to Kara and Kara was like, Jess, you could get pregnant and have a baby by the time we go back to work. And now like Casey Levy's done that. You're doing that. Do you know what I mean? Like people who I think were only going to have one kid, you know, were like, well, I mean, why not? Let's go for it. And then lo and behold. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that like in a lot of ways, I mean, this is the only path, you know, you don't know what the other one would have been like, you know, so it's like to compare the two. But I would think that having this space and time and being able to enjoy your pregnancy, hopefully, and really bask in it has been lovely.
Yeah. I feel grateful that I didn't have a lot of those stressors that you're talking about, of like just the pressures that we put upon ourselves and that are, you know, specifically challenging, I think, in our industry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Even just the pressure of doing a show, becoming pregnant, and then being like, how long am I going to be able to do the show until I can no longer do it? You know, that was like a daily question. I know that I had to go through with both my pregnancies, you know, am I going to make it to the time I said I was going to make it to, you know, so it's lovely, but you do have you have your return date.
Yeah.
And it is not long after you are supposed to have your baby. So how are you feeling about all close. Of
this? Well, we just finished kind of those conversations and negotiations. And I have to say the show is really being awesome, and they're letting me come back whenever I feel ready. Because this is maybe for editing or not. I don't know if she's public about it. My understudy is also pregnant. So Laurel Harris.
Yes, I knew that. I knew that because Rob is in my show, and Rob posted it in our, he posted it in our group though. I don't know if he's like, we'll see when we tweet this episode out.
So she's having a baby a couple months after me. And, you know, I wrote the team, like the creative team and the producers an email, I don't know, like in the spring when I was doing my first like public performance. And I was like, I'm showing, they're going to see. I just want everyone to know what's up, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is something we're really excited about. And I want to share it with you. But I also want you to know, like, the show is a different kind of baby for me. And I care about it, too. And I'm really inspired by basically everyone on the email thread, with the exception of maybe one or two, is a working parent, you know, working artist parent.
Well, yeah, you've got like Diane Paulus and Alanis Morissette, and, you know, there are a lot of those mothers on there.
And like Tom Kitt and Diablo Cody, and like they all have multiple kids, you know what I mean? Like that's the thing that's so thrilling. And so I felt from the beginning, I felt like I would be supported and I could share my news with them, which was really nice. Yeah. and so I just was like, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what to expect. I think no one knows. I've seen it change people drastically, but I think at this point in time, I am hoping that I will like want to be a working mom, you know? And everyone wrote back and was just like, anything you need, like we are here for you. And it was great.
Oh my God.
You know, but then it comes down to actually discussing the logistics, which is harder because it's also like they're running a business. And and so I just, you know, at first I was like, yeah, I'm going to rally. Like, sure, I can probably come to like a Zoom rehearsal or I can, you know, I can. And then like as it's gotten closer, I'm just like, I don't want to do that. Like, I just... this is probably the only baby I'll have, and I don't want to not be present for like these.
Good for you.
This first part of her life. No. Yep.
Absolutely.
It's so hard to do that, but it's so amazing that you listen to your gut, you know, just saying, like, I want to be here for this.
And it's different for everybody, right? And, you know, I you know, I asked so many people, and I got lots of advice from people, and, Rita Kitt, Tom's wife, actually, I was like doing a Zoom with him and she was in the background. She's like, do you want my advice? And I was like, yes.
I love Rita.
I know. She's just the best. But she was like, you should set yourself up so that you can come back, like, you know, when you're ready, rather than like being like, no, I'm not coming back for 6 months or whatever it is. And then feeling like, oh, I could be there. I actually want to be there, you know? So she's like, if you can, like, set it up so that you can go back when you're ready. And so I'm really grateful that that is what's happening. So they're hiring someone who will, I think, open the show and then saying like, when I feel ready, like, come back and we're going to share the role for a few months, like to the end of the year, probably. And then, come January, I'm going to go back in like full time, but even my full time is just going to be 6 instead of 8, which I'm so grateful for.
That's, oh my God, Elizabeth.
I mean, I fought hard for it, you know, it wasn't easily won. because that wasn't what I had before, but I just was like, I just heard so many people talk about the eight being hard. And I know how hard eight is, even not as a mom. And just, you know, I just was like, this is an extraordinary circumstance. Like, my baby will not even be a year old. Like, it might be, I might be able to be like, I'm going to rally if, I don't know, if she were one and a half.
Well,
even.
Or if you were in the ensemble, to be honest, like, that's a different experience than leading a show. You are starring in the show. You are the mother. You are a grounding force within the production. And that carries a weight in and of itself as well, you know? And now that you've been Tony nominated, that's part of it too. That's a that's a thing. It's like Tony nominee Elizabeth Stanley, you know, it's like
the pressure.
I mean, I hate to put it on, but it's true. No. Like, it's different for you to go back to eight shows a week versus like me going back to Jersey Boys eight times a week when Elliot was, you know what I mean? Like, our job was not as.
And yet, I feel like though, this needs to be, I want your journey to be chronicled and shouted from the rooftops, because this is something that we've been fighting for, is this job sharing kind of opportunity for parents in our industry. They do it overseas in London. They let parents job share on shows, and so they can get their health insurance weeks. And actually, it ends up behooving the show in the long run, because you don't have someone calling out last minute because their kid is sick or whatever. They have, the coverage, and the parents are in the mental space to do the job that they have to do, whether it's four shows a week or six shows a week, but not the full eight. You know, there's a lot of validity and worth to it. So I'm I'm so curious to see what your, journey through it is. And hopefully it gets a little bit of a traction with the industry.
Yeah. I mean, and I think so much of it does come from the fact though, as well, that so many on the team are parents, because they understand the struggle and they know what it's like. Because when you have a creative team that don't have children, if there's no one there, they can't understand. No one can understand until they're in it. You know, and so they're usually not as amenable to making those kind of concessions. Right. And I just, for the record, I'm all for a job share. I just mean like the actual physicality of the job is easier. Like, but mentally going back to work and missing out on this time, that's hard on anybody.
Well, and that's what I was explaining when I was sort of pleading my case. I was like, look, I know how to work hard. Like, I'm, we got that. I think every actor does. Like, we hustle, right? And I was like, I didn't call out from the show at all until I had COVID. You know what I mean? Like, and even then I was like, I'm coming back, because I didn't know that's what it was, right? So I was like, if it was just about me and like recovering from a birth process, like, I could do it. But is that really the healthy move to make? Probably not. But also, I was just like, it's about what my kid needs. And they, when they're that young, like, need to be by me. Like, it's just like, that's their, you can't change that.
Yeah. Well, and I think these are the conversations that that are happening more and more, right? I mean, they're talking about just within the normal workforce as well. There's the great resignation that they're calling it, because people are realizing what I was doing before was not working. It was not healthy. It was not sustainable, ultimately, without detriment to our bodies and our mental health. And I think that these moments are going to happen more and more. And I said this on another episode, but it was like, if we all stick together, the producers have to make changes. They have to start to recognize these things. And it does come from having people in charge and in positions of power, mainly women, I do have to say. Like, here, holla for Tom Kitt, but I know that it has so much to do about having women in the positions of power, and women who are mothers specifically, because they understand it and they recognize how important it is. And so the more we can speak up and the more we can ask for what we need, the more hopefully some change will start to occur.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel so inspired by that. Just, I think right now as we're recording this, the Olympics are happening, right? And I'm just like, like weeks before I had this kind of negotiation conversation with the folks at Jagged, I was reading an article about Olympian moms and how they were like trying to figure it out, trying to help each other. And, it was, I was like, Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, it's, I think, one of the best parts of this, you know, past year and a half of mostly what's been hard for so many people, well, for everyone in a different way, but is that people are like, I'm not going to not say what I need anymore.
Exactly. I mean, it's like, I've been saying we need to start the hashtag that you're pulling a Simone Biles. Like, you are standing up for what it is that you need in this moment. And I think as we're returning from this time, I found that for myself. Like, I no longer want to do the things that, like, I would normally say yes to just because it's like, oh, well, I should do it. I should say yes. It's like, right. Is it going to serve me? Is it going to serve my life? Is it going to serve my family? Is it going to feed me? And that's going to be, as you travel down this path of motherhood, that's, I think, one of the hardest things to come to terms with, because you are constantly worried about the needs of your child. And at some point, your needs and your child's needs have to have kind of the same importance. And in the beginning, it's going to be really hard. You are not going to feel that way. At least that was for me. And I still majorly struggle with it. Jessica does too. I mean, like, you're constantly weighing your self-preservation against what might be good for your kid, you know? Ugh. So knowing that moving forward, you're already well on your way on your path. I bow down to your ability to recognize that, because I certainly didn't early on.
Well, hashtag old mom, you know, I've like had the, I do feel like it's lucky that I've watched so many, you know, friends and colleagues before me, just go through the process and the struggles and be honest about it with me. I feel like I've had really honest friends of being like, this shit's hard. You know, I love it, but like, this part is not a mommy blog.
No. But luckily also your bestie is Carrie Anderson.
Yeah.
Who we had on as well.
She's amazing.
She's so amazing. A therapist and, like, you know, actor turned therapist. And so I'm sure she's a mom, obviously. Check out her episode, you guys. But she probably has so much wisdom and is so helpful, like, along the journey for you. And it's great to just have this community, you know, it's just, we are stronger together in all the ways. And I do think that the time is ripe for conversations to be happening. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I want to sort of shift a little bit.
Shift.
I noticed, and I can edit this out if you decide this is something that's not supposed to be known, but I did notice some rings on fingers in some pictures on Instagram.
We did not get married.
Oh, okay.
No, everyone asks, because did you notice the ring on Charlie? Is
that I did.
What, yeah.
I mean, I and then I looked at yours and I could see there was a ring there, but it was mainly the fact that he had one that I was like,
Not anymore, because I can't fit them on my hands. But no, we got engaged in January of 2020, and we're planning a wedding for September, and then, you know, shifted that a few times, which was a fun time. But ultimately, we just decided, like, let's just wait. Because the legal part of it wasn't super important to us. I mean, we might change our mind with parenthood. I don't know. There might be things that, like, just taxes and crap like that we're like, right, let's just do it.
Yeah.
But we really felt like we wanted, like, the gathering of our peeps. You know, that's, like, what the wedding felt like, what it was important for us to have, yeah, be the, like, witnessed and celebrated. And it just, it still feels impossible to plan an event, like, mm-hmm, with certainty and pure joy.
Yeah.
So, and then when we found out we were pregnant, I was like, I don't know. I don't want to plan a wedding and have to hire, like, a babysitter. Mm. I want her to be able to be a part of it, you know? Mm. But we did, so September 27th would have been our wedding date. And we did just have, like, a little celebration day between the two of us. Mm. And so Charlie was like, let's give each other something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. And so I gave him this ring that had been my grandfather's.
Oh.
So that's the ring that he was, that's wearing, lovely, which he actually, it's a good practice ring for him because he just, like, plays with it and drops it a lot. And I'm like,
oh no.
Okay. Okay.
Eric went through a phase where he wasn't wearing his at all.
Oh.
And I was like, where's your ring? He's like, oh, well, I forgot what show, some show he was doing. He was like, he wouldn't have a ring. I think it was Waitress, actually. Oh. I think it was for Cal. And he was like, Cal's, yeah, not married. He's like, he wouldn't have a ring. And I was like,
well, you're not Cal.
But you can wear it during the day. And he was like, no, I have to take it on and off, on and off. I was like, I'm like, so
welcome,
sure,
to my world. I have to take my ring off when I do the show.
It's exhausting.
I know. He's just so method. But I also, though, I have to say a little thing because Kara and I have, so anyone who's been listening for a while knows we have this group, Broadway Baby Mamas. We're on Instagram, but we are a private Facebook group for moms in our community, right? And it's a safe space.
It's awesome.
So we always know that people are expecting, usually, for sure, once they're requested to join, because that's the giveaway. However, before that happens, they usually start to follow us on social media. And you started following, yep. You started following Mama's Talking Loud, like, months ago. And I said to Kara, I was like, Elizabeth Stanley's, uh-huh, going to be pregnant. I'm telling you, I bet she's pregnant. And then sure enough, there it was. And there are a few others. I won't throw them out because
them
we won't out them here because they haven't publicly said anything, but there are, yeah, people we've noticed have started following us. And it's, aww, like, we feel like that, the secret keepers sometimes, because we're like, ooh, that person's going to say they're pregnant.
That's so cool.
I also, there was that, but then also you did order bracelets from Ivy and Clark. You ordered,
yes,
the fertility.
I was just gonna say that because we were trying for like 6 months before we got pregnant, and that, like, at my maternal age, at my advanced, my AMA,
geriatric pregnancy,
that's right, that's when they're like, well, if you've been trying for 6 months, then you should just, like, run some tests to just see what your bodies are doing, right? So it was like around that time, and so I was just like, you know, putting in energy in lots of different places. And I was like, I'm ordering this stack for myself. Because I've been so impressed at, like, this business that you started among all the other things that you do, but, like, and that you do it with your daughter. It's just, like, so awesome.
Thanks.
Thanks. And so, but I got your stack the day I found out I was pregnant. And so it just found, like, it felt like this, I don't know, good luck charm. And so I like did not take it off for like the first like trimester, because that's, you know, it's just like such a, yeah, scary time that, yeah, you're just like, yeah, please let everything keep going okay. Yeah.
Oh, I love that so much. Wow. I love it so, yeah, much. Oh, that's so great. And I want to say kudos to you because I just saw your final post on Instagram. You were like, yeah, I'm taking a hiatus. First off, the photos are gorgeous. You're so beautiful. I mean, like, could there be a more stunning mother goddess about to have a baby? Like, you look
on
gorgeous.
A rooftop. On
it
a
helps
rooftop.
To have Jenny Anderson like taking the photos. You know
I mean,
saying?
But it's, she's got a great subject. So, but I just want to say, like, kudos to you for taking yourself out of the space, you know, and out of social media, off of social media, saying, I'm going to be present, fully present in this time.
Yeah. You know, social media is like, I know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I think everyone has a love hate with it. I know very few people who are just like, I love it all the time.
Ellen Marsh. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, some people are so good at
That's
it.
That's the thing. Right? Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I definitely know people I'm like, you thrive here. It's really impressive. Yeah. It's like, I wish that I had that relationship with it sometimes. Yeah. But
nope,
I definitely don't.
Nope, definitely not.
And knock on wood, I generally have been someone who is not like plagued with jealousy and like comparison in my, you know, in my life, but in this industry too. I've been lucky in that way. I have like supportive friends and other things, and I've been able to just like just keep my eyes on my own paper. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I never visit any Broadway website, like mm-hmm. not Playbill, not Broadway.com, not, you know, not because I don't like them. They're awesome. And sometimes it means I'm like, oh, I had no idea that was happening. And everyone's like, okay, Elizabeth. But I just knew for my own sanity, it's just better. I just trust that what's meant for you is going to come to you, and don't be like emailing your agents every time, like, oh, I heard this thing is coming down the pike. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, because for me, that it made it worse, not better. But I gotta say, this last year, I did not feel as cool about the jealousy stuff. And it just like crept in a way that was new for me, like to a new level, where I was like, oh my gosh, well, they're like writing a book and releasing an album and doing a concert and starting a business. And right. And I was just like, don't do that. But then that coupled with like, you know, I started following lots of mom things on the gram. Mm-hmm. And some of that stuff is scary. Like, my midwives are really awesome, and they're really into the mental health of the mom. It's like a huge part of their practice. And a couple times I would come to them with questions like, well, I read this article that blah, blah, blah. And I was like, just don't read those articles, Elizabeth. Like, don't be clicking on that. yeah. And I know this is going to be hard, and I'm not saying I'll be successful at it, but I don't want to be on my phone all the time in my baby's face. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be like breastfeeding and doom scrolling. Like, that just feels like a terrible combo. Mm-hmm. I'm sure because it's hours of your life, like, I'm going to want distractions of other sorts, but
there are books. Like,
there are books.
Exactly. I was like,
catch up on your reading.
Do something that's good for you, mm-hmm. you know? And mm-hmm. So I think it was sort of a self-preservation thing, but also like a preparation thing, where I was like, also right now, I don't need to be thinking about that stuff. Like, that's not.
No, because helpful. You can't, like, none of that, the stuff on the mom stuff, that you don't need that added on. Like, you don't need the added stressors of that. But then business-wise, too, like, that's not going to be your world for a while. Right. So it does nothing. Like, unless you can fully go in and feel just positive and supportive, you don't need that. You don't need to see what is happening, what's going on. Like, be in this moment. This is so special. And like you said, this might very well be your only child. You know, like, at the time, I didn't know Elliot was going to be my only. And I still, like, I feel like I took advantage, but I definitely wish that I had been even more present than I was. Remember? And I said, I was consciously saying, remember this, remember
it's
this,
hard,
but
right?
I still wish, like, I, it's that saying of like, I don't wish I had another kid, but I wish I had my kid back at the beginning again, just to sort of like be more aware and present of each moment and milestone and things that were happening. Because when you're in it to win it, Eric says it's like being in outer space for the first 3 months. You know, it's like, it's such a crazy space, and like, you're just trying to survive, truly. But I think taking out Instagram or social media from that equation will be super helpful, just for you, for your sanity, as you move through this massive transition. And, you know, you're like, this sort of segues into something else I wanted to talk about, which is that, you know, Jagged Little Pill, it's like the most woke show, right? There is. Woke. I know. Hashtag woke. I know, you know, that show was leading the charge with the conversations around just like LGBTQIA, like everything, and racism, all these different social justice issues. And then to have found ourselves in this place when everything came to a head last summer, for sure, during Black Lives Matter and everything like that. Like, how has it? I know that for my company, we've had Zooms and we've had cast conversations and we're going to have anti-racist training coming back. But how has it felt to be, first off, I think, on social media during this time and knowing that, like, your position within that show, probably a lot of people were looking to see how you responded, right? Mm-hmm. I know that some of us were being looked at to say, like, are they speaking up? Are they being an ally? Are they actively trying to listen and be more anti-racist and more aware and, you know, speaking up for the LGBTQI play, you know, A plus community and all the things? Has that, I mean, you're going to be off social media, and I know that you have posted things. I mean, I've seen that, like, you're clearly an ally, but going back to your show, do you have any sort of like hesitation with regard to the content of the show itself, or how it's portrayed on stage, or the role that you play within that community? Because I think, I know you have some trans cast members, right? Or you have some non-binary cast members, and this new, I don't know quite how to say this or what I'm even asking truly, probably, but, I have hesitation going back to my show. You know, yeah. It's like, I don't want to say the wrong thing. And I, don't, you know, out of just ignorance or not realizing. And so that is almost twofold with you and your show. And how is that? Like, have you guys been working on anything? Have y'all been talking to one another? Or are there plans for your company to do any sort of work?
I mean, yes to everything. I think in terms of like myself and how I'm representing my like public persona and what I'm doing, that's something I've thought a lot about this past year. I mean, it's something I certainly thought a lot about before, particularly because of the show I was in, but one thing I really learned about myself is I feel like social media is not the place where I thrive in terms of my activism, and I've kind of had to make peace with that and know, like, there are other things I'm doing, other conversations I'm having, other donations I'm making, you know, and everybody, as long as everyone's doing something, right? Mm-hmm. That's okay. Because for me, the conversations require so much nuance. Mm-hmm. Life is just complicated and it's not binary, mm-hmm. you know, ever, it feels yeah. like, you know, yeah. no matter how strongly I feel about something, there's always something to listen to on the other side. Even if it's not going to change my mind, like, I think it's oftentimes worth listening to, or which for me is hard to have those kind of like true conversations over social media. Mm.
Exactly. Whatever do you mean?
No, it's not.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I mean, if some people are, again, some people seem to be kind of good at it. Like, they can do it. But you
said nuance. You can't get nuance from words typed on a screen. You cannot. It's very, very hard to portray nuance that way, you know? Yeah. And so you really are nailing it on the head for me as I'm listening to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I'm not alone in that.
No, it's hard.
Yeah. But I definitely thought about, you know, even in just like kind of asking for what I need and going back to work, I was like, well, here I'm just like this white lady who's like, well, I have needs too. And, you know, it took me some time to kind of wrestle with that and be like, well, yes, you can fight for the needs of other people and also have needs of your own and look at the big picture and see where you fit and where do your needs fall on the sort of important spectrum. And I mean, Jagged has been a show that and again, I can only speak from my experience in the room, right? But it, from the get-go, has been trying more than any other show I've been a part of to be on the up and up. You know, having advisory boards of people who spend their, you know, it's their life's work working with sexual assault survivors, working with people in recovery and addiction, working with racism, working with adoption, working with LGBTQ, you know, it's so, you know, we spent days in rehearsal, precious rehearsal time that Diane Paulus was willing to give up and that the producers were willing to pay people to come in and have these informed discussions and conversations. And I've never been a part of a show that spends that kind of money and time investing in educating the people in the room. And was it perfect? No. Was there room for improvement? Yes. You know, yeah. But I do have to say, I think the show is trying, right? And so that makes me feel hopeful in coming back. I think they, particularly with the trans non-binary things, have made some missteps. And, you know, I have my perspective of the evolution of things and my own experience in the room, but that's going to be different for each one of us. So I can't speak to the, like, this is the truth. Like, everyone has,
you know, their experience. Their own.
And we're not all in every rehearsal room in every minute. But I do think, like, you know, the statement that they released most recently was really painful to a lot of people in that community. And I do think, like, they are waiting. They have been waiting, I think, to make a proper statement or a follow-up statement in hopes that a conversation could be had with some of the people in our show that were especially upset by that. But I don't know if that conversation is going to happen. You know, I don't know that everyone is willing to talk. And so I think they're going to have to move forward and figure out what to say.
Yeah.
In the meantime. But I feel like personally, like the story of our show, how I see it, and I think it's kind of beautiful that, like, depending on who you are and what your life is about, you might be like, no, the show's about this. But for me, because this is the character that I play, like, to me, the show is really about a family who is trying to be awesome. Like, we all are. And that is really hurting. And my character is a survivor of sexual assault that she never dealt with. She never talked to anyone, like so many people our age never did. And then she becomes addicted to opioids, and which is also really common that, like, the two go hand in hand, which further fractures her family, you know? And so it's really, for me, about truth telling and like going through the hard stuff, letting things be ugly, embracing the, like, we're gonna fall apart. I'm not perfect. Ness of life. And so I think the more that the show leans into, like, yeah, and the show is being created and made by human people who are making mistakes. Like, sometimes I think it's such a curse that, like, woke got, like, put in one of the reviews about our show, like, early on, because that carries a certain, like, cliche kind of burden, I think. That I feel, my perspective anyway, was that so many people working on the show were learning and changing and evolving and growing, like right along with the show, in real time, you know, which is real messy.
Yeah. But because of shows like your show, that learning and that growing happens, right? And I think that the fact that before we even had this moment in time, your producers and your creative team were actively bringing people in, having the conversations, having the heart. That's what it is. That's what we have to do. And I think that the underlying, for me at least, we were having our listening circles and things, and it's like the patience with one another, right? It's like having patience with one another. Take it down a notch. Try to take the emotion down a notch and recognize, like, we all have a common goal, which is to be respectful and inclusive and tell the story and hear one another and respect one another ultimately. And so there will be missteps along the way because, like you said, we're human, but we must all have patience with each other, you know, as we move through this time. I mean, it's going to be, there's so much your show already dealt with so much. And now coming back after this time, after the mental health issues and the isolation and the trauma and all of that, like I can hear you that it was heavy and trying and I can only imagine what it will be like when your company goes back. So probably really awesome that you're going to be at home with your baby. That's making it light, but it's that thing of like, oh my God, like it's going to be, I think a lot of us, it's going to be really heavy. It's going to be really heavy in so many different ways, just being back in the room in general, you know, being with people. So.
And it's special, right? Like we are a part of a community of people that feels really deeply and I think thinks really deeply. Like so many people that we work with, I would consider some of the smartest people I've ever met, you know? Mm-hmm. And that the combination of those two things is really, those are intense rooms to be in, even in times that feel less charged or less difficult. So I think it's also thrilling. Like I feel so excited to be amongst this great community of people that are like, willing to feel their feelings and do hard things.
Yeah,
right?
Totally. Yeah. It's like the positive here ultimately is that we are all wanting to do the right things and make the changes and listen. Like we're not a people who are really averse to that, you know, and they're like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear your journey. And this is what I'm doing. Most of us are not like that. Most of us are terrified of, you know, saying the wrong thing or hurting someone. Yeah. These are our families. These are our show families. Like the last thing we want to do is hurt anyone in the room and in our community. And so I think just coming in from that place right off the bat already, hopefully that we all can recognize we're all here for this common good and support and love and lead with that. You know, it's all we can do, I guess.
Yeah. And it's a practice in vulnerability, right? Which is it's like a thing that we all learn as actors, like how transparent, how vulnerable can you be? Because that's real scary, really uncomfortable. But I think these rehearsal spaces, you know, hopefully and on their best days, embody that and allow us to be like really vulnerable and big mistake makers and apologizers and learners, right? Like,
that's so true. Kara, I was just going to say, as we come to a close here, as we start to wrap up, so we've decided we want to hear what would be, because of mental health and everything that, because this is a massive transition. This is just as people moving back into the world. I mean, it's a lot. And then add on top of it, like this new life chapter that you're about to embark on, everything. It's so exciting. What would be your mantra in moving through this time? If you had a mantra, what would that be?
I'm like, oh, I want to say the perfect thing.
No pressure. Say what you feel. No, like, one word if you want, you know, whatever the mantra, whatever you feel.
I think a good one is like, be curious.
I love it.
Just staying open to the things that make me uncomfortable or challenge me, and wondering, why is that? Why don't you like that? Why does that feel weird? And then just genuinely being curious about each other, right? I think,
yeah,
that's what strikes me as we go back. It's like, and I feel like actors are so good at this already, but just really being gentle with each other. Like, because it can, you know, it's especially when you're putting up a big, expensive Broadway show, it's just like things can be tense and we can be taskmasters and just bust our asses and, you know, but I think just really checking in with each other, like, how are you doing today, is going to be really important.
Yeah. I think that's, I mean, it's so perfect for the return to work, but it is also so perfect for this next phase of your life.
Yes.
A, being gentle with yourself and also being curious about the new person you're going to become. Like, we're going to speak with Corey Pettinato. We spoke with her already, and she had just kind of had her baby. I think Carver was like 3 months old when we spoke, and she's like, I am just getting to know this new person that I am. She's like, sure, I'm getting to know this baby, but I'm also getting to know this new version of myself. So to be curious and gentle through that process as you're going to shift and change and be like, I'm in this new skin.
Who's
I don't know this,
lady?
Person. yeah, for sure.
Thank you for sharing that. That's,
yeah.
I think I hadn't been thinking about that as much for myself, and I'm sure I need to.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah.
You will inherently once you're in it, but
yeah,
good to, you're already in the right headspace for it. So.
You are, for sure. And before we go, I just want to tell you, in the next, just be aware of how often you can say, hey, I want to go down the street to the store. And then you just like grab your purse and you walk out the door like that fast. Just take that in, because
do it now,
because you never again will ever leave the house that like carefree, just feeling like, oh, I don't have to worry about the things I have or a diaper bag or what I'm feeding my child or what they're going to need later. You just
snacks. I don't need to have any snacks.
I don't need snacks. Like,
we were in the car today on our way to Costco, and my son was like, he's like, I'm hungry. He's like, what do you have to eat? I was like, nothing. He said, Mom, you don't have any snacks? I was like, no,
I don't have any snacks.
You just ate breakfast. We are on our way to Costco. It is going to take us a half hour, and you will go home and you will eat something there. He could not understand that I did not have any snacks.
Yeah, it's the truth. So just pick up that purse and walk out the door. Just unencumbered, because that won't happen.
Oh God. Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Sure.
It's going
to be sure.
No, just heavy. I am so jealous of the time you're about to enter. For me, the newborn phase was like super magical. I could have cared less about anything else. I was like, however the hormones affected me, they were very positive in those first 3 months. Not so much later on. Don't worry. I had my fair share later, but in those first 3 months, I was like, this is magic. This is amazing. So I hope for you it's that way.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. I love hearing that. I know. I mean, I think, it hits
everybody,
you at different times, the part where you're just like, what did I do?
This person is here all the time, forever.
I have to think about them.
Yep. That's real. Yep. I have to think what I'm feeding this person every meal. No, I know. That used to be my thing. Karen knows. I'd be like, I have to think about what to feed them. She's like, girl, just put out some cut up grapes, some cheese. It can be like a charcuterie board, you know, like
definitely,
which is our favorite.
Which is our favorite. So anyway, girl, we are so excited for you. And thank you so much for joining us on this version, because we want to talk to you after the fact.
Yeah. Once that's going to be interesting to
caught,
hear.
Yeah. Once you've caught your breath, we're super excited. We want to hear about it and follow along. And we're thrilled for you. It's been awesome to watch this come up in your life. So
that's such a pleasure to like have you as other examples of awesome working mamas in the business and all that you both do. It's really inspiring to see and that you mother so well and, you know, maintain your artistry too. It's really cool. So thanks for inviting me to join you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Thanks
and
for your
all
words.
The love your way.
Yep,
yeah,
for sure. Be well.
Yep. You too.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talking Loud. Special shout outs to Justin Squiggs Robertson for our fabulous new graphic, Kristen Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Wardweber for our awesome theme song, and of course, the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.